For our meditation this morning, I want us to turn to 1 Peter. The epistle of 1 Peter, we're going to read a short reading in the first chapter of 1 Peter. And as you're looking it up, I'll try and give you a little bit of the background to the epistle. You know that it's the Apostle Peter who is writing here. And he's writing to a number of churches that were located in the country that we would now know as Turkey. So, where you see modern-day Turkey on the map, these churches would have been founded in these areas, and they were founded probably mostly by exiles, people who had moved out from situations of persecution and have settled in these new areas, but also, I'm sure, local people as they shared the gospel. They are primarily Gentiles within the church, or people who have been saved from paganism, but there are likely to be lots of Jews there as well. But we get the idea of a people who are in difficulty, a people who are in strange circumstances, a people who are alienated from the surroundings. So you can imagine what it's like for exiles to move to a new country, to move to a new place, an all new culture that's around you, people that you don't know. You're trying to make your way in life, and things are just not as you would have expected them to be. Or even coming out of paganism and going into Christianity and finding that your religious life has completely changed. Finding that your neighbors who were once friendly no longer want to talk to you. They view you with suspicion. And it's bound to be difficult for them. And so Peter is writing to minister to them. And he's well placed, isn't he? Because you remember Simon Peter, and he's dealt with trials before. He's dealt with difficulties. He's dealt with alienation in the past. And so he writes to them to encourage them in their faith. So we want to consider today a short passage in God's Word. We're going to read from chapter 1, verse 3 down to verse 9. And we're going to focus our thoughts this morning on verses 3 to 5. But we're going to read from verse 3 down to verse 9 just now. And the Word of God says this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." And we'll end our reading there in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. Hope is something that's very important to each human being on this planet. We all want to have hope. And yet, when our world talks about hope, it talks about it in a way that, as Christians, cannot be reconciled with what God teaches us. People out there hope one day that perhaps they'll win the lottery. It's a woolly thing, isn't it? It's by no means sure that it's going to come to pass. It's just something that would be nice. It's something that would perhaps be good in some way. It's something that they hope would change their lives for the better, and so they hope that it will come to pass. And there are any number of things that people hope for. But when they hope for them, that's perhaps as far as it gets. Peter, when he speaks to us in 1 Peter chapter 1, he talks to us about hope. He teaches us to bless God because of the great hope that we have. But how can we bless God for something if it's so immaterial, if it's unlikely to come to pass if it's just a nice thought. Well, you see, the hope that Peter teaches us about, the hope that Peter instructs us to bless God for, is very different to the hope that is out there in the world. Perhaps even the hope that we think of. Because Peter calls it a living hope. It's a hope with a particular nature. And it's a hope that's purpose is revealed to us in verse 5, where it says, it's a hope and a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You see, the hope that Peter brings us, or brings into our minds this morning, is the hope that one day that our salvation, that salvation that we enjoy today, that one day we will enter it in its fullest form. One day we will be absolutely complete in our salvation. And we remember, don't we, that God speaks of our salvation in a number of different ways, doesn't he? He speaks of our salvation in the past tense. Because each of us who are saved, we will look back to a day perhaps, or a time when we were saved. When we turned away from sin and we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we will recognize his verses like Ephesians 2 verse 5 where it says this, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. He says, by grace you have been saved. So we understand salvation in the past tense, don't we? That we have been saved. But the Bible also speaks of salvation as an ongoing thing, doesn't it? 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So there is a sense in which we as Christians, we were saved in the past, and we know that our salvation is complete. But we still understand that today the Holy Spirit is at work in us, and the word of God is molding us, and we are being saved. But here in 1 Peter and in other passages, for example, 1 Thessalonians 5:9, we read of the future aspect of salvation. For in Thessalonians it says this, for God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Peter is setting before us the idea that we have a living hope. A hope that one day, our salvation will be absolutely complete. That we will be free from the power of sin. We will no longer sin anymore. We will no longer fail anymore. We will no longer disappoint anymore. That we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. We will know Him and we will see Him face to face and talk to Him as a man speaks with his friend. And when Peter sets this before the people that he is writing to, he's setting this great hope as something for them to look to as they face the trials of everyday life. Something they are to set their minds on as they face the difficulties that come upon each aspect of their lives. So I want us to consider together this hope of salvation today. And this morning, I want to think of it in three ways. I want to think, first of all, of our hope of salvation and its divine origin. And we find that in verse 3. Our hope of salvation and its divine origin. It says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Try and put yourself in the place of Peter's readers. Think of the uncertainty that's running through their minds and the changes in their circumstances. Perhaps they're in a new community and they're uncertain of what way things are going to go. Perhaps they have had plans, initial plans, and they have fallen flat and things have all changed and they're trying to make new plans and wondering what's going on. Perhaps they are living in fear because they have suffered persecution in a previous place and they've come to this new place and they've tried to set down roots, but they're always expecting persecution and fear to come along round the corner and for them to be uprooted again and sent on their way. There is little doubt that Peter's readers would have went through times, just like us, when we wonder, what have we done to end up in this particular situation? Can we survive another day? Can we hold on? Can we make it through another week? Or is things just too difficult? Well, Peter tells these men and women and boys and girls in this situation, he says, listen, take your eyes off the circumstances of your life, and he says, hope in the salvation that God has provided for you. And you see the wonderful things that he teaches us about this salvation, because he talks about this hope of salvation being given in mercy, doesn't he? He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ according to his great mercy. You see, the reason we have a hope of salvation is not because we are more intelligent than everybody else or better looking or more sincere. It's not because we are holier. It's simply because God poured his mercy out into our lives, isn't that right? Before we were saved, we just went along life as if we were the most important thing in the world. That nothing mattered apart from our happiness and our family's success. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, he looked at us. And he saw that we were heading for hell. And instead he poured mercy on us. And he came into our lives and he spoke to us the words of life. And he drew us out of death and destruction. The reason we can hope that one day that we will be saved completely is because he had mercy on us. He sent his son Jesus Christ to die for us. You ever think of that? You ever think how wonderful it is to know that your salvation is from God? He goes on to say that it's paid for by Christ. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, we didn't earn it. Jesus Christ was the one who went to the cross and died for us, taking the punishment that we deserved. Jesus Christ was the one who rose again from the dead, satisfying God's divine justice. I don't know what you face today, but we all face difficulties, don't we? And it's easy to get our minds stuck in the difficulties, and I'm a sort of person who needs to plan things and needs to organize things. But you see, we can get so caught up in the organization, we can get so caught up in the planning that we forget that the salvation that we enjoy is a supernatural thing. It's a gift from God. And we can hope in our future salvation. We can know that no matter what happens in our world, no matter what happens in our lives, no matter what difficulties press in upon us, that there is something that is secure. There's something that cannot change. There's something that's absolutely dependable. And even if we think that we are failures, even if we think that we're not holy enough, that we don't know enough, that we are just wasting time, if the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior and our Lord, then we know that the salvation that we have, the salvation that he has purchased for us, cannot be taken away. It's from God. It's already been given to us, even though we don't deserve it. It's already been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, our salvation has a divine origin. But more than that, he tells us more in verse 4. He says our hope of salvation, he says it has an eternal nature. See, we're to hope in an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Again, we try and put ourselves in the place of Peter's readers, don't we? The uncertainty of their lives. And they, of all people, know that things are not eternal, because at one time they lived at home, they lived it with their families and with their communities, and they perhaps thought that that's the way it was going to be. And suddenly, persecution came, and they find themselves in new places among new people. They find out that nothing in life is eternal. And we know that to be true in our society today, don't we? Things change so fast. We hardly know what's happening from one day to the next. Peter here points them again to their future salvation, that sure thing that they can hope on. And he tells them that this salvation that's provided for them is an inheritance. This reminds us again, doesn't it, that it isn't something that we've earned. It's something that's been given. Inheritance is something you get from somebody else. And the salvation we have is a gift. It's an inheritance from our God. And it's perhaps these people there, then they look back into their Old Testament and they've seen the inheritance that Israel had, and they see the land and they see all that was there, but they realize how wastefully Israel used it. But you see, this points to a similar idea. You see, the church of God has an inheritance. You remember the tribe of Levi, its inheritance in Joshua 13:33 was this. He says, "But to the tribe of Levi, Moses gave no inheritance, but the Lord God of Israel is their inheritance." And this applies here in Peter's epistle, because in chapter 2, verse 9, he says to them, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession." You see, the people who we're talking about here, the people who Peter is writing to, they've got an inheritance. But it's not like the inheritance that the Israelites had. It's not a piece of land. Because the inheritance that Peter's readers are talking about, they will not fade away. Land can be destroyed, can't it? It might not bear fruit. It might be wasteful. It might be lifeless. Even if you do get life out of a piece of land, then the life only lasts for a little while. You know, the crops die after a period of time. Land can become contaminated, can't it? But the inheritance that Peter is pointing to is one that disease or pestilence cannot destroy. Enemies can't come in, as happened so many times to Israel, and take it away and take control of it. It's an inheritance kept by God, kept in heaven for them. And you see, friends, we have to think in different terms when we think of the hope of our salvation, don't we? Because where our world is so uncertain and where things change so quickly and so dramatically, when it comes to the inheritance that the Lord Jesus Christ has provided for us, that God has given to us, our eternal salvation, we have a prize in that that is beyond our human understanding, because it never ever changes. It doesn't die. It doesn't have a sell-by date like eggs at a Tesco. There's not a time when it will become useless and worthless. There's no date by which you have to buy it or use it. It's a fortune that we cannot exhaust. People can't come in and steal it from us. No one can sue you and take it away from you. You think of all the investments that you have, the money you have in the bank, or the wages that you have, or the investments that you have. They're all temporary, aren't they? Somebody could come tomorrow and take it all off you. And you never see it again. And you'll be left with nothing. But you can never be left without your salvation. Because the salvation that we have, the salvation that Peter points us to, it tells us here, it is kept in heaven for you. And each one of us who trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior
Our salvation is in heaven, kept for us. And decay will not come in and destroy it. It will not become contaminated. The thief will not break in and steal it away. The liar will not relieve us of it.
We're saved. And we're saved for eternity today. And no matter what it is that troubles you, no matter what it is that's crowding in on your mind and in your life, no matter what it is that's causing you to fear and worry, you know you're saved. And you know that heaven's waiting for you, and you know that one day you will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is never a situation when we as believers are hopeless. Our hope of salvation, it has an eternal nature. But verse 5 tells us a little bit more. It tells us that our hope of salvation will be surely revealed to us. It has a sure revelation. Verse 5 says this, "Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." You see, it will be little comfort to know that your inheritance is safe, but that you were not. It would be a little comfort to know, wouldn't it, that your inheritance was safe, but you were not. But Peter goes on to say that who are by God's power are being guarded through faith. You see, the power of the omnipotent God today not only has provided salvation for you, but He guards you. He stands over you and watch, loving and caring for you. When the doubts and fears come, when sin attacks, when Satan accuses you, who fights them off? Who stands in the way but the Lord Jesus Christ? And even though we are failures, and even though we choose the wrong way, and even though we fail to trust when we should, if Jesus Christ is our Savior and our Lord, we will never be lost. We will never be utterly cast down. And our salvation is sure because it is guarded by the power of God. You see, whenever you got saved, what happened? The Lord gave you faith to believe in Him. It's not a natural thing. It's a gift from God. Romans 12:3 says this, "Think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." H.C.G. Mule says this, "The Lord, the sovereign giver of faith, the almighty bringer of souls into acceptance and union with Christ by faith, has given thy faith to thee and thy brother's faith to him." You see, we needed faith as a gift from our God if we were to trust Him. And He saved us. And we don't just trust Him for some day in the dim, distant past. We trust Him for today because we need faith to live every single day. We need faith to live every single moment for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that God gives us that faith because if He didn't, we would be utterly cast down because our sin is too great. Our faith is the evidence. The faith that we enjoy today, that we trust Him against all the odds, is the evidence that we belong to Him, that we're His children. And our salvation is sure because it is ready for us. He's not waiting for it to be topped up. He's not waiting for us to add a few bits and pieces to make sure that we do the right thing or go the right way. He's not waiting to see how sincere we are in 2 weeks' time. We are guarded and our inheritance is complete. And every believer today, every person who has put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we have an inheritance which we are willing to enjoy. We have a hope that cannot be taken from us. It cannot be destroyed. It cannot fade with time. And no matter where you are, no matter what is battering against your life, no matter what is causing you to think about turning your back on the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to conjure up the strength within yourself to do what's right. You need to turn to the Lord Jesus. For He's the one who guards and guides and protects. At the very start of our reading, the Apostle Peter said, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Friends, this morning, should we not be blessing our God for such a great salvation that's been provided? Should that not well praise up within our hearts? Should we not be filled with rejoicing, thinking that our God has done so much for us? We can hope. We can hope in something so secure that is more real than anything that is around us today. It's absolutely, utterly dependable. Friends, I pray with all my heart today that each of us realize that the salvation that we have, the salvation that we look forward to enjoying in eternity, comes from our God, the very hand of the Almighty God of eternity. It is eternal in nature. It will never change. It will never fade. It will never die. It will never disappear. And it will be revealed in the last day. And it will be something we will enjoy for all eternity. It will be. It will be ours. And we can bless God from the very depths of our hearts today. Because if He knew that He left us to our own devices, would have disappeared off into the distance years ago. But He's been by our side. And He will continue to be with us until the day when we meet Him face to face.